You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action. The action on New Year's Day will be myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with James Millman and Chris Pimlott on Racing Radio. We've got a real good card to look forward to at Cheltenham. Good racing from Musselburgh as well. Further jumps action from Exeter, Catterick and Fakenham, and all-weather racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. So a real busy start to the new year in the racing world. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I am very well, thanks, Mark.
Good man. Before we get stuck into New Year's Day, big racing on Saturday as well at Newbury. The feature race there was the Cello Novices Hurdler Grade 1 contest won by Messier Desherbeau at 100-30, beat Balthazar Dallier at 9-2, and Ami Dubois was third at 14-1. There was a significant faller in the race as well in the shape of Robin Rowe. What did you make of the performance of Messier Desherbeau to start with?
Workmanlike. Clearly he's a very good horse. He's only a four-year-old. I thought he was very professional, and he's come out of the race at Sandown that he won better than the Nicky Henderson horse, Cultivator, who shaped as well as him there. He also jumped better. His jumping was a little bit sketchy, particularly over the last two at Sandown. He showed that he was really determined the way he won last time, and he had to dig deep again to defend off Balthazar Dallier, who looks a real prospect for chasing next season. He's a big unit. He wouldn't be the obvious type to fulfil his potential over hurdles, but he's one to look forward to next season. And credit to Ami Dubois and connections of that. It was due to run during the week. Second season novice as well. He's very straightforward. He keeps giving his running, and he deserved to get the black type there in this Grade 1 contest. Difficult to know exactly where Robin Rowe would have finished. He travelled very well. He was held up at the back of the field, and he was going to be produced with a sweeping run on the straight. He basically tracked Messier Desherbeau through, but he barely passed a rival when he came down at the third last, but was still seemingly full of running, but stepped at the hurdle and gave Harry Skelton looked a very bad fall, but he was back up and riding in the next race.
Clearly, it looked horrible, didn't it, at first?
I thought he was. I assumed he was knocked out cold because he didn't move a muscle, and that really worries you with a fall like that, because he wouldn't have seen it coming on horse steps like that. It's very sudden, but the fact that he was up and riding O'Graffin in the next race is really good news.
Yeah, great news. Messier Desherbeau got quotes for both the Neptune and the Albert Bartlett on the back of that 14-1 for either of those two. Would he be on your shortlist for the festival?
Well, he'd be a Neptune horse rather than, you wouldn't want to see he'd be very young for the Albert Bartlett, I would say. So the Neptune's the race that'll almost certainly aim him at. And he's one to bear in mind. It's not a bad price. I mean, horses who win the Challo tend to be shorter than that. Historically, Challo winners have a moderate record in the Neptune, but that's possibly because the Challo is often run in very, very heavy ground this time of the year. And horses who win it tend to win impressively. They tend to be highly rated. And then we probably focus on the fact that they don't win as being disappointing. Takin de Soy, for example, went off a reasonably short price for the Neptune, and a very good Neptune it was, beaten by the new one that day. So they haven't acquitted themselves badly. And Barters Hill probably would have gone very close in the Albert Bartlett last year, but for I think he was lame the day before the race and they had to rush him into it. So I don't really buy this hoodoo, and the fact that it was goodish ground today is a positive as well. So it's a fair price. I wouldn't be telling you to rush out and take it, but it's fair.
Okay. Anything else stand out to you on the Saturday before we move on to New Year's Day?
Not really. It was a pretty low key. I mean, it's a very competitive day's racing. There's the big fields at Warwick and Utoster as well as at Newbury, but a very rare Saturday with racing on when there's been no live television coverage, and obviously things change from tomorrow.
Yeah, I heard somewhere it might be the first Saturday without television coverage for 25 years. I think it is, or something like that.
Yeah, unless you include last Saturday. When there was no TV coverage either, because it was a blank day.
Yeah.
And obviously we have had blank days before, but to have racing on a Saturday and nothing televised is very unusual.
Yeah, that all changes, of course. On New Year's Day, we're going to look ahead to some of the action now. Rory's got four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
So Anthony McCoy has previewed some of the action at Cheltenham for us as well. We'll get his thoughts a little later on in the piece. But we start in the 12:50 with Rory, and this is a handicap chase over 3.25 miles. A big field here as well of 17 of them, so it's going to be real difficult race to fathom. So what did you come down in the end?
Yeah, disappointingly, in terms of, I did this yesterday without any prices, and I dug out Arpège de Lane as the likeliest winner, but he's going to be favourite. There's one or two prices filtering through already, so I'm not. I don't think I'm digging out anything unusual. But he ran in a novice chase at Cheltenham at the international meeting and finished second behind Single Farm Payment. Very much caught the eye that day in that he travelled very, very strongly from an early stage of the race. But when the pace quickened coming down the hill, he got left behind briefly before finishing very strongly. And being beaten two and a half lengths by the winner, who's a decent horse on his day. Single Farm Payment has been a little bit in and out, but Tom George was explaining afterwards that it's taken a while just to understand the horse and to get the best out of him. But I thought it was a very good performance, and the performance of a horse who needed a step up and trip. He gets that here. He gets a real test of stamina. He also will probably benefit from a very strongly run race, given that he jumps and travels but doesn't have a turn of foot. So we'll want them to take him along at a decent pace. And a 17-runner race over the 3.25 miles at Cheltenham should suit him down to the ground. And he's not badly weighted. He got 11.7 on his back. I think he's sure to run his race. The price might be a little bit skinny, but that's what I've come down on. In terms of dangers, you can't rule too many of these out entirely. The obvious one is Vita de Rock, who ran pretty well when sixth in the Hennessy. The Hennessy is obviously an exceptionally well-contested race, and I thought he shaped pretty well on the whole. He's got plenty of stamina. He's very straightforward. He wears a tongue tie for the first time tomorrow, and if that helps him, then he's a player as well. Again, he's probably going to be second or third favourite, so you don't want to be... If you're backing both of those, you're taking fairly short odds. But Arpège de Lane will do the job for me.
Okay, Arpège de Lane, Ferrari in the 12:50 at Cheltenham. Moving on to the 1:25, this is the Dipper Novices Chase. A grade two over 2.5 miles, or the extended 2.5 miles. Some good winners of this in the past. This year's renewal is headed by Clan des Urbeaux in the betting at 6-5. Whisper is 3-1, 4-1 Briary Bell, 5-1 007, and Never Equaled is the 50-1 outsider. Some real nice novices in there, Rory. And the idea is, or the impression you get from Paul Nicholls, is he thinks quite a lot of Clan des Urbeaux.
Yeah, and he's been that way since last season. Talked him up before the Triumph Hurdle. He found that they were a little bit too quick for him in that, but he ran a respectable sixth in the end. He was a little bit unlucky not to win on trials day last year over hurdles, and he is clearly a very promising type. But it wasn't the greatest race that he won last time out. He jumped really well, but he did have the run of things, and I'm not sure exactly how strong that form is. I think he's got every chance here. I'm not suggesting he's a bad, he can't win, but I think he's going to be underpriced rather. I don't think he's got a huge amount in hand over his main rivals. Whisper, for example, is probably going to be second in. I wasn't sure he'd take defences, and he struggled over hurdles last season, but he jumped really well when he won at the international meeting, beating Baron Alco in good style. And if he jumps as well as that again, he'd be a threat. But the one I'm going to go for, who's going to be a bigger price, is Briary Bell. You don't get mares running in this race very often, or indeed races like this, but she missed an engagement during the week, Briary Bell. She was taken out at Doncaster. A few trainers not happy with the ground there. And she runs here instead. It's obviously an afterthought, and I think people will ignore her because of that, but she's got a lovely attitude. She's been first or second in her last five starts. She's jumped really well, winning both her starts over fences. The last one in a listed race when she beat Desert Queen. Again, that was around Warwick, and Warwick's a proper jumping test. And she impressed with the jumping there. She also impressed with how much she found for pressure there. And Desert Queen is a pretty smart mare in her day. So I think that form is as good, nearly as good as Clan des Urbeaux. And of course, she gets a mare's allowance as well. Clan des Urbeaux obviously gets some weight because he's a youngster, as it were, for chasing. But Briary Bell, in receipt of weight, I think comes out as pretty much the same horse as Clan des Urbeaux. And yet she's going to be about 7-1 chance.
Four to one. People are onto it.
Crikey. Okay. Well, 4 to 1 is about the right price. I think you'll probably get better than that, because I think they'll back the front two in the market. Oh, seven's liable to be a little bit weak. But Briary Bell, I still think she ends up being fourth favourite come the off in this race.
Okay.
Just because people go, this mare has been rerouted from a mare's race during the week to this. That doesn't exactly fill you with confidence. But Henry Daly's going really well.
Mm.
I've always liked this mare. And she deserves her chance in a race of this nature.
All right. Briary Bell and for Rory in the 125, the Dipper Novices Chase. Moving on to the 2 o'clock, and this is a handicap chase, a grade 3 event over 2.5 miles, more seasoned chases obviously in this one. No more so than Village Vic, who won the race last year, has done well this season. 9-2 at the top of the betting ahead of Vanater, who's 11-2, Quite By Chance 11-2 as well, 6-1 Asda Me, Top Gamble 10-1, 10-1 for Tenor Nivenay, 11-1 for both Henry Paramorgan and Thomas Brown, and 14s Bar. Those competitive handicap chase.
Very competitive, as you would expect for a listed handicap, and it's, you know, we have the big races of this nature in November and December, and then this one, and Village Vic tends to turn up in them all, and he runs really well. He's been a star for Alan Peterson and Philip Hobbs since he's gone chasing. Took him a few runs just to get the hang of things, but he's been tremendous, particularly at Cheltenham in the last year, and he's thoroughly straightforward. He goes from the front, he jumps really well, and he finds for pressure. He's high enough in the weights now, but you know he's racing off the same mark as he was a close third in the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup at the international meeting, and he's again very likely to run his race. He meets Quite By Chance, who was only about half a length behind him that day on the same terms, and there shouldn't be much between them again. But I'm taking a chance on one at a big, I hope a big price here. You got any prices for this yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you do indeed. 16-1, Thomas Crapper is a horse that I like, always have done. Things haven't always gone to plan with him over fences. He was a novice for a long time, but he's run very, very well on the whole. He was sixth in the Betvictor Gold Cup in November, but the ground was very soft that day, and I don't think it entirely suited him. He is better on good ground. I don't know how much rain they're going to get overnight. That's a slight question, but clearly He ran respectably on soft. I was hoping, my angle into him was I was hoping that he would have had a wind operation since he was last seen, because he'd been off for 50 days. The fact that he wears a tongue tie again makes me think that he might not have.
Mm.
But a wind op only keeps a horse out of action for a few days. And Robin Dickham was reported as saying before he ran in November that he had a wind problem, which is why he's having his tongue tied. But it's easy enough to correct those these days with a minor operation. So I'm hoping that's a belt and braces approach, and he's had a little bit of a tuck and also wears a tongue tie. But it is possible that he's not had it, which would be a little bit of a concern. But he's still interesting at a big price. I think you'll get bigger than 16s again on the day. He's not particularly sexy. He's been around for a long time. He's a 10-year-old now. But he comes alive at Cheltenham. And if there's not as much, if there's not a huge amount of rain to turn the ground soft overnight, then he's worth an each way play.
Okay, final race we'll look at is the 3:10 at Cheltenham. This is the Relkeel Hurdle. It's a grade 2 event over 2.5 miles. Market headed by Lil Rockefeller, who's 11-4. 7-2 Cole Harden. Lammy Surge 5-1. 11-2 Camping Ground, who's last year's winner. 9-1 Old Guard. Adrien de Pont is 12-1. 14-1 Agrapar. And Protector Flow. And 33-1 for Leon Cavallo. We've got interesting shape to the race, really, that Lil Rockefeller's still progressing over hurdles, keeps bumping into one you feel probably deserves a big pot of his own. And then you've got some failed chasers that were very good over hurdles coming back over hurdles now. So what do you make of the race?
It feels a lot like last year's, to be perfectly honest with you. Last year, Camping Ground beats Lil Rockefeller 11 lengths, and they meet again. Again, the overnight rain may be crucial here, because Camping Ground seems at his best when he gets plenty of ease underfoot. He's a horse who, he travelled well before falling over fences last time. And interestingly, he came into this race last year having unseated over fences as well in the Peterborough Chase, again where he travelled well. He had one mistake, which saw him dump his jockey. I think, at the prices, I think I'd go for him. He's obviously worse off at the waist with Lil Rockefeller for last year. Lil Rockefeller has progressed again in the meantime, and he's a thoroughly likable horse. Cole Hardin wears a tongue tie here, which suggests again he's going to go to the Cheltenham Festival on the back of a wind operation, and they don't tend to be too worried how he draws in the run up to the festival. So again, he doesn't want the rain overnight, Cole Hardin. Yeah, what price have you got about Camping Ground?
11-2.
Yeah, I think 11
to, nibble from sixes.
Yeah, in from sixes. I think that's a fair price. I would just favour Lil Rockefeller if he didn't give me prices. I would just favour him over Camping Ground. But Camping Ground, although he's worse off at the weights, he did win this by 11 lengths very impressively last season. And I can see him being at his best again here. So the 11-2 looks a bit big to me. Old Guards, he's had a horrible time since switched defences. I'm surprised that Paul Nicholls moved from defences so quickly. A lot of trainers who had decent novices or decent young horses over hurdles last season switched them defences. Nicky Henderson, for example, at Altior and Bouverdet, they're both chasing this year when you thought one of them might have gone for the champion hurdle.
Yeah.
And that looks like a gettable race now. Whereas Old Guard's now having to reinvent himself. But in saying that, Camping Ground did that successfully last year. And Cole Hardin, he didn't look a natural over fences, really, did he last time? But
no.
His yard's in better form now, and he could bounce back, but he would want no rain overnight, whereas Camping Ground, if he gets the rain, that will suit him down to the ground. And he looks a really solid each-way bet to me at the prices.
Okay, solid each-way bet then, Camping Ground, to possibly win the Rail Keel Hurdle for a second year running. Good stuff, Rory. Thank you very much. Been a pleasure. Happy New Year to you, and enjoy the racing on New Year's Day.
Thank you very much indeed.
So there you go, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi on the New Year's Day action at Cheltenham. We can now hear from Sir Anthony McCoy. He's going to talk us through his thoughts on the best of the action at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. Starting in the 125, the Dipper Novices Chase.
The 125 is the Dipper Novices Chase. It's a grade two. Nicky Henderson has a strong hand here with two runners. Whisper, for me, looks the best of the two of them. He won last time over fences at Cheltenham. He's a grade one winner over hurdles, and he's getting the hang of fences now, so he'll have a big chance, as will Brary Bell of Henry Daly. She's 2 from 2. Was quite impressive when winning at Warwick last time, but I think they'll all have to go some to beat Paul Nicholls' Clan de Zobo, a horse that was very impressive last time at Newbury. He won by a long way that day, and we've heard a few times of the high regard that Paul Nicholls holds Clan de Zobo in. If he's as good as they say he is, Clan de Zobo will win the Dipper Novices Chase.
Next up, we hear from Sir Anthony McCoy on the 2 o'clock, which is a Grade 3 handicap chase over the extended 2.5 miles.
The 2 o'clock is a Grade 3 handicap chase. Nicky Henderson's Vanatu was a good third last time at Cheltenham, the Eastlake. That was over 2 miles. I think stepping up on trip might bring out some improvement in him. As to me, Paul Nicholls, as he won over the Grand National fences, I'm not sure he's quite as good at Cheltenham as he might have been around Aintree. Village Vic won this race last season for Philip Hobbs. He's run 2 really good races at Cheltenham this season. He was third last time in the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup. He'd quite by chance just behind him that day. Quite by chance didn't get a great run through, and I think with a clear run, quite by chance could give Colin Tizard another big winner here.
And now on to the 2.35, which is a Class 2 handicap hurdle.
The 2.35 is a competitive handicap hurdle. Tom George's Rocklander has been in great form this season. I'm sure he won a big race again. Harry Fry's What a Night was impressive when he won a 4-runner race at Hereford last time, but this will be much more competitive for him. The one I like is Called to Order, a horse with course and distance form. He was a good winner at Cheltenham last time. He's got a good weight. Aidan Coleman has been in great form, and I think Called to Order will win again at Cheltenham for John Joniel.
And finally, the 3.10 at Cheltenham, the second of the Grade 2 races on the card. This is the Rail Keel Hurdle.
The 3.10 is the Rail Keel Hurdle. Camping Ground won this race last season, but like a few of these, he's been very disappointing over fences, as has Cole Hardin and Lammy Surge. And for that reason, I'm going to go for Little Rockefeller. He's run some great races recently. He was second to, you know what I mean, Harry, in the Long Walk Hurdle. He was second to Yanworth before that. And I think he deserves to get his head in front, and this is a good opportunity for him here.
There you go, the thoughts of Sir Anthony McCoy. We heard from Rory Delaghi as well. Plenty of action to look forward to on New Year's Day with a great card at Cheltenham. We've also got good racing from Musselburgh. There's Exeter, Catterick and Fakenham alongside that over the obstacles as well. And all weather racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. So plenty to get stuck into. It's live on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with James Millman and Chris Pimlott. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy a busy New Year's Day of racing action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.